Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
And our Father, we're called. We're here because of your voice. And you know each of us by name. And Lord, I pray that as we gather this morning, as we submit ourselves to your word, that you might make us ever more like your Son, our Savior Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Just a brief editorial comment. If at halftime, the stadium went dark, and when the light came up, it was that gentleman standing alone singing that song, the Super Bowl would have been a far better event. Anyway. Yes. Derek, thank you. She's too pretty for you, I can tell right now. So Jesus, well, what happened was there was a man who was born blind and Jesus healed him. And the denominational authorities didn't believe it. And they basically put this man on the third degree, this blind man who'd been born blind and had been healed. It was a great experience for him. They put him under the third degree trying to find out who it was. And they said it was this Jesus guy. And, well, they couldn't take it. They couldn't believe it. So they threw him out. They threw him out. And so it was that Jesus, because of his presence and power, and most of all, because of who he was. He was a threat to all established forms of authority and all structures of power. And he himself, with his life, would redefine what power means. Power doesn't mean dominating over others, but power means serving others. And so coming off that, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers." This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. God add his understanding to this hearing of his word. And so Jesus makes this declaration over against what that blind man went through, over against what he is declaring to be false authorities, authorities who have taken positions of power but are not authorized by the Father, God in heaven. And so he has very little patience for them. And he declares that they are false authorities, false shepherds, thieves, and robbers. The church has a history of running after false authorities, chasing after thieves and robbers. And it is all to the detriment of the faith. In 1934, Karl Barth drafted what is now known as the Barman Declaration. The Barman Declaration was a word from churchmen to the church, the larger church, particularly the State Church of Germany. The State Church of Germany had completely embraced Nazism, and in so doing, joined with the cultural flow, the popular opinion, the academics, and they were standing apart from, they were countercultural to the culture that had taken hold in Germany. And so Karl Barth quotes from this passage. He writes, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." That is a prelude to this statement that he makes. We reject the false doctrine as though the church were permitted to abandon the form of its message and its order to its own pleasure, or to changes in prevailing ideological and political convictions. That the church does not have the authority to remove itself from the authority of the gate, the door, the good shepherd. And he comes out against any ideologies or politics as being authoritative in the church. Shamefully, many churches during the 30s were displaying swastikas in the sanctuaries. And Karl Barth and others of the Confessing Church stood up against that cultural drift. And likewise, the church must, in all times and in all situations, maintain its core identity as the sheep under the shepherd. And that core identity is defined by our Savior Christ. For he is saying to us in this passage that he is the way. He is the gate, he is the way in, he is the means, and that no one enters without him. And he's saying that he is the one who lays down his life. Those denominational authorities that threw out that man who had been born blind, those men weren't willing to die for him. They were willing to kill him because he disagreed with them. Jesus says he's willing to lay down his life, and he will lay down his life. And so our good shepherd Our Lord is the one whom we serve and the one alone whom we serve. Now, back to the Super Bowl. So this is the first football game in a long time I've watched from beginning to end. And I will say I didn't get a lot of the stuff. I typically watch on YouTube where you can skip the commercials. I wish there were a provision where we could skip the commercials in the Super Bowl. I didn't find them funny. I found a lot of them just sort of leaving me a big question mark. I didn't even know really what they were advertising. And then there was the He Gets Us commercial. And I listened to it, and I thought, well, this is interesting. And the declaration at the end of each of those commercials was, He gets us. And yet, I was left a little bit disturbed, a little troubled. So in one of them, the foot washing one, an oil rig worker washes the feet of a climate activist. But why wouldn't a climate activist wash the feet of an oil rig worker? A cop washes the feet of a young black man, but why doesn't a young black man wash the feet of a cop? An older woman washes the feet of a young woman outside on an apparent abortion clinic while abortion protesters look on. Why isn't the young woman anointing the feet or cleansing the feet of the older woman? A priest washes the feet of a young gay man. And why wouldn't the young gay man wash the feet of the priest? It seemed to have a slant. And it seemed to say that those who were doing the feet washing were potentially the haters. But we all know there's hate coming from both sides. We all know that we need to have a cleansing on both sides, the young black man and the cop, both need something. And inasmuch as that commercial may not have been understood by many people who have no idea what foot washing is, maybe there was a confusion of that and baptism. And maybe that's okay. But I was left essentially with confusion about that commercial. And yet, yes, Jesus gets us. I appreciate the whole thrust. And yet it costs millions of dollars to put that up there. And could there have been a less confusing, a clearer way to make a statement about the nature of who Jesus is, not who we are in relationship with one another, but who is Jesus, and who is Jesus affects how we view one another. Without an understanding of who Jesus is, why not give way to our hatreds? What impetus is there for us to show love for one another, to show love for those with whom we harshly disagree, to show love for those that we might even hate? Now, I have to admit, if I were called upon to wash the feet of an executive presbyter in the Presbyterian Church, that would be a challenge. I would do it. But I would have to go through all kinds of barriers that are in my own heart because of my own experience with the Presbyterian Church. And what my brother went through and what my son has been through, I'd have to go through an awful lot to do it. But I would know that, yes, my calling would be to do that, not because of who they are, but because of who Jesus is. Because he is the good shepherd. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who leads us. And as he says in this passage, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came that we might have the abundance of life that understands like that opening song, that he has made us glad, and it's not just a passing moment of gladness, that there's a deep joy that sets in when we understand that we are loved by God and thereby liberated to love one another. Yes, even our enemies. The unique message of the cross, the unique message of the faith, is that because who God is, we are free to become more like his son. We can love one another. And yes, we can be given the power by the Spirit of Christ to love even those with whom we disagree. And yes, wash their feet. So Jesus is our good shepherd. And the question is, yes, he gets us, but do we get him? Do we get who Jesus is? Do we understand his identity and why his identity is so transformative of all of life? Do we get him? Do we get it when Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep? Now that image refers to that metaphor of the sheep pen, where the shepherd would be the door to the fold. And yes, if there was a terrible threat, he would fend off that threat and he would give his life to kill the threat, to save the sheep. But he says that he does it willingly. What kind of love says, not only I will die for you, but I will kill for you. I will do anything for you. If I kill for you, that means I have to take all that moral ambiguity into myself. If I die for you, it's not as a martyr, but as one who has given himself fully, that you might be safe, and more than just safe, more than just secure, but that you might know human flourishing. You may have life and have it in abundance. So yeah, Jesus gets us, of course he does, we know that. He calls each of us by name, which is interesting. Shepherds knew their sheep by name. They'd have And each sheep would know their name in relationship to their own shepherd. And I would love to hear a list of names that a typical shepherd would call their sheep. But Jesus knows our name. And we have our given names, but we have a name that the Lord our God has written on our hearts so that we hear when the shepherd voice calls. And so we get Jesus. Pardon me, Jesus gets us, but do we get Jesus? Because what he says to us is, I love you. I love you. I will die for you. I will die for you so that you might have life and have it everlasting and have it in fullness and in joy, and that you would be glad. I lay down my life for you, and my Father will raise me up. That's what it means to get Jesus. God in the flesh dies for us. in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow and pray together. Lord, there are times when we think we're lovable. Most of the times we know otherwise. Times, O Lord, when we think we're worthy of nothing. But then you say to us how loved we are and how you lay down your life for us. Heavenly Father, we give you all glory and honor and praise that you came to us not as one whom we understand, but one who is above and beyond our comprehension. And you love us anyway. And Lord God, by your power, may we get you. May we love you. May we receive your love and be changed. We ask it in the strength of your name.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.